1 John chapter 2. If you would stand with us, please, out of reverence for the Word of God. I want to speak to you this morning on an honorable reception. An honorable reception. And we find that, and we find this phrase in 1 John chapter 2. And notice, if you would, please, in verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Obviously, at the end of the Scripture, in the next of the, just a couple books left, Jude and the Revelation. But in 1 John 2 and verse 28, he said, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Now notice that phrase in verse 28. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, and I believe that's going to be soon, he is coming again. I don't care what the naysayers say and the unbelievers say. He is coming again, and it could be today. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed. And what's interesting about that is, at the end of the New Testament, he says you ought not be ashamed. Yet in Genesis chapter 3, he said that Adam and Eve were before him naked in the garden, and they were not ashamed. So we started out being not ashamed. Then John said, I want you to abide in him so that when he appears and when we see him, we will not be ashamed. And so I want to speak about on that thought about not being ashamed and having an honorable reception. On Monday morning, Brother Eldon Hurd left this life after a long bout with cancer and received an honorable reception. The master said to the servant in Matthew 25, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant, well done." And I hope that when we see him, when he does appear, we too have an honorable reception. There are five elements that we find in Scripture that will help us not to be ashamed at His coming. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the principles that are taught in the very beginning, in the first book of Genesis, in chapter 3, You said they were not ashamed. As Adam and Eve stood before You in the Garden of Eden, they were not ashamed. But then sin came, and Lord, we were all born with a sin nature. And so John exhorts us that thanks to the new birth, we can stand before You once again, not ashamed. And Lord, I pray help us to take these principles that are given to us in Scripture. May we glean from them and learn from them, Lord, so that one day when our day comes, it may be tomorrow, it may be today, it could be 20, 30 years from now. We don't know when You're coming. We don't know when You're going to call us out of this service to our eternal home. Lord, we don't know when that's going to take place. Lord, I pray that whenever it is, I pray that we could say with John, we have confidence that we will not be ashamed when He comes. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John is writing to believers. In verse 28, he said, "Now, little children," those who are young in the faith, and he's reminding them that Jesus Christ is coming in. And John was well convinced that Jesus Christ was going to come in his lifetime. And by the way, many have believed that as well, and I remember Brother Little preaching, and he would preach, "Maranatha, Maranatha, Jesus is coming." Brother Little was a firm believer that Jesus Christ would come during his lifetime. And I'm convinced that I agree with Brother Little. There's no way he can't come in my lifetime. You just see things unfolding, things in Israel, and things in our own country, and prophecy being fulfilled, and the last days, people growing cold toward the gospel, and the love of many waxing cold, and we see wars and rumors of wars, and we just say, man, he's got to come today. Well, I don't know when he's coming, but I do know he is coming. And John said, when he comes, we ought not be ashamed. We can be confident that we don't have to be ashamed that he's coming. Well, what is it? Well, the first one is, and we're not even going to touch on this one. This is kind of maybe an introduction to a sermon that's coming later. He said in verse 28, abide in him that will not be ashamed. Well, we're not going to deal with that part this morning. We may deal with that another time. But if you go back to the book of Romans, if you would please, there are five things in Scripture that Paul tells us, or that Paul and others give us, that if we'll partake of them and embrace these things, that we'll not be ashamed. What helps us not to be ashamed at His coming? And He is coming again, and we look forward to that day. Will we be ashamed, or will we be afraid? And I hope we will not be ashamed of him. Look in Romans chapter 1, if you would please, and notice verse 16, a verse you're very familiar with. One thing that helps us not to be ashamed is the gospel and the power of God. Notice chapter 1 and Romans chapter 1, and notice verse 16. Romans 1 verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed because of the power of God that is in me, that dwells in me." Understand, the moment you got saved, the moment you became a believer, that Jesus, or the Holy Spirit rather, indwelled you, and the power of God then became a part of your life. And because of God's power that is in us, we don't have to be ashamed that it's coming. I'm glad we can partake of that power. The Bible said in Psalm 71 and verse 15 and verse 16, he said, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof." Verse 16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." In Mark chapter 8 and in verse 38, he said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So we're not to be ashamed of him. We are to be ashamed of the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is our power. It is our authority. I have no authority whatsoever in this pulpit aside from this book. And by the way, we have no authority in this society outside from this book. It is our final authority. It is the power of God. It's the working of the Word of God that does the work. A preacher can preach and he can persuade, and you can go soul winning and you can persuade. But I'm going to tell you, it is the power of the Word of God that does the work. And Paul said, because of this power, I don't have to be ashamed. It's not my word. It's not my philosophy. It's not my ideas. The things I espouse from this pulpit are not my philosophy. It's not my ideas. It all comes based out of the Word of God. This is where the power comes from. I like what one preacher said, "I always preach the Word because the Word will do the work." And I'll tell you, the Word will do the work when we can't. You said, "Preacher, I think about all those that we give the gospel to." And may I say to you, God's word said it would not return void. God's word always works. We could give you many illustrations of that this morning, but time will not allow. Turn, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, we're talking about the power of God. And the power of God makes us not to be ashamed. Understand that when He, Jesus Christ, comes again, we stand before Him. We stand before Him unashamed and with confidence because of the power of God. It's not our ability. It's not our personality. It's not our ego. It's not some gift or some talent that we have. It's the power of God that helps us not to be ashamed. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Look in verse 23 of that same passage. "But we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." May I say to you, the preaching of the gospel, the giving of the gospel, is the power of God. We're talking in Sunday school about the pillars of the church. And we kind of hit on that last Sunday about worship. And this morning we're talking about the praise being the pillar of the church. Last week we were talking this morning about the proclamation of the gospel. One of the pillars of the church is the proclamation, the giving of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we mentioned this morning that it's not in personality. It's not in abilities or talents or gifts. But it's the power of the Word of God. And I was sharing with the Sunday school class this morning, one of the most, far as I'm concerned, one of the most faithful and consistent soul winners in this church has never, as far as I know, has never stepped foot on this platform, ever. In the 28 years I've been here, I've never one time heard him speak from this platform, not once. He's not an outgoing personality. He's not someone that has a charismatic personality. But you know what he does? He faithfully gives gospel tracts. He's faithfully passing out the gospel and giving the gospel. And I don't tell you, he's seen people come to Christ. You know why? Because it's not his charismatic personality. It's not his winsome spirit and attitude. But it's the fact that he gives the Word of God, and this Word does the work. It is the power of God. Can I say to you, I don't have to stand ashamed before him, because I stand before him with the power that he has given to me. And Paul, John said, exhorts him in 1 John chapter 2, he said, when he appears, don't be ashamed before him at his coming. Well, how am I not ashamed? We're not ashamed because of the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the word of God, for it is the power of God. Notice number two, very quickly, turn if you would, please, go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we find another reason why we can stand before him unashamed. And Romans chapter 5, and we'll go look at some other scriptures. Romans chapter 5, not only do we see the power of God that causes us not to be ashamed. Well, we live in a world where you got to have clout and ability, and you've got to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. I want to tell you, if all you know is Jesus Christ, that's all you need to know. I don't need to know anybody else. That's the only one that's important. So he is the power of God that causes us not to be ashamed. Number two, very quickly, Romans chapter 5, and notice verse 5. The Bible said, Romans 5, verse 5, and Paul said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. Turn if you would there real quick. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. We'll look at more scripture this morning than what we normally do. Philippians chapter 1 verse 20. That was on the screen. Philippians chapter 1 verse 20. Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now Christ also may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed. Then he said in Philippians chapter 1 verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Paul said, now watch this. Paul said, I'm not ashamed because the power of Christ lives in me. Paul said, I'm not ashamed because of the promise of the hope that Jesus Christ is coming again. I'm glad I have a hope that lives inside of me that causes me not to be ashamed. It's not a hope so salvation. I've met people, I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I'm not hoping I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I've got a confidence. I've got a hope. That hope is a sure thing. It is a confident thing. And I can base my life based on the fact that I know he promised that he'd save me and that he's coming again after me. Paul said, that's a hope. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I know what's going to happen in the end. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, he said, now, Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Paul didn't say it's an adequate hope. He didn't say it's a halfway hope. He said it's a good hope. It's a sure hope. And I'm glad I can stand before him this morning unashamed because of the confidence, the hope, the promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 and verse 19. Paul writes this in Hebrews 6, 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Now understand that. Underline that if you would in your Bible or in your mind. It is impossible for God to lie. Steve McQueen, the famous actor, spent many years in Hollywood, went to a Billy Graham crusade one evening. Heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, summoned Billy Graham to his limousine after the crusade was over. And Steve McQueen said, I believe, but I don't know that I'm saved, and I want to believe, and I hope it's true. And Billy Graham turned him to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, where it says, for it was impossible for God to lie. They said that when Steve McQueen died, he died on his deathbed, he had his Bible open, and had his finger pointing to that phrase in Hebrews chapter 6, the God that cannot lie. I want to tell you, my hope is a sure hope because my God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And he says in this verse in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, he says, it's impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Boy, I meet a lot of people who are living on false hope. They're hoping their religion will get them there. They're hoping their wealth will get them there. They're hoping their church membership will get there. Paul said, we have an anchor that is sure. He said, it's sure, it's steadfast, there's no doubt about it. I want to tell you, I can stand unashamed before God because of the promise of an eternal hope that lives within me. I have a God that cannot lie, a God that will not lie. And He has given me an everlasting consolation. He has given me an eternal hope that is steadfast and sure. And may I say to you, you and I ought not be ashamed down here as believers, because we've got a promise, we've got a hope that is steadfast. And when he comes again, when He appears, will you be ashamed? Are you exercising the power of God in your life? Or do you have a hope inside of you that helps you not to be ashamed? Notice the third thing very quickly. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, if you would please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you have the power of God and you exercise the power of God in your life, then you'll not be ashamed when He comes. You'll not be embarrassed. If you have the promise, the hope, then there's no reason to be embarrassed when He comes. Notice the third thing we notice, if we're willing to persevere, then we'll not be ashamed at His coming. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and notice verse 9 and verse 4, down to verse 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command, exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now Paul said, and notice in verse, especially in verse 13 and verse 14, in verse 13, he says, be not weary in well-doing. Why did Paul say that? Paul said that because there were many that had gotten weary and fallen by the wayside. There were those whose love had grown cold. There were those whose love for the world had become greater than their love for God. And because of that, they fell by the wayside. They did not endure. In well-doing, they got weary and they quit. They gave up. They did not persevere. And he says in verse 14, he said, those that quit, those that will not work, those that give in, those that go by the wayside, he said, have no company with them, note them, that they may be ashamed. May I say to you, those that fail to persevere. You say, preacher, is a Christian life always easy? No, sir, it's not. It's not always easy. There's times you're going to be ridiculed. There'll be times you'll be misunderstood. There'll be times you'll be misrepresented. There'll be times when your motives will be questioned at best and misrepresented at worst. There's times when you will go on and you will pray and you will serve and you will work and you labor and it will seem like no fruit is going to come. And it is very easy to fall by the wayside. It's very easy for our love to wax cold. It's very easy for the allurements and the entanglements of this world to become entrapped by them. And Paul says those, he said, let us not be weary in well-doing. By the way, he not only said it in this passage in 2 Thessalonians, but he says it again in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. He said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. I want to tell you, a lot of times we get weary and faint. This church, if it had all the members that's been here in the last 28 years, we couldn't even get them on the property, most of us in the building. So, preacher, what happened? A lot of them got weary. And they faint. Now, a lot of them have moved on, and they're doing serving the Lord in other places, in many towns all over the place. I think we've got a whole other church in Macon. I'm thinking about just moving up there And so I understand, and I'm not saying all, but I'm just simply saying a lot of them just got weary. They got disillusioned. Their feelings got hurt. They didn't get their way. Someone offended them. Someone misread or misjudged their motives and their work and their labor. And Paul said, like me, or like Demas, they have forsaken and backslid from God, and that brings shame. And by the way, that's the reason so many. Some have fallen and were embarrassed and ashamed and said it's easier not to go back. Let's just be honest. It's a whole lot easier when we fall to just leave and never come back than it is to eat humble pie and say, forgive me, and get back in the battle again. It's a whole lot easier to just walk out the door and never come back. And many do. But Paul said this, those that do, one day they're going to stand before Him and they will be ashamed. John said, look, when you stand before him, is it embarrassing to fail? Should it be sin to fail? Listen, all of us are going to fail. If you're looking for a perfect church, don't join this one. And if you think this one is perfect, don't join it because you'll mess it up. This is not a perfect church and we're not perfect people. But I want to tell you, God's people give back. They ask forgiveness. They receive forgiveness from their brothers and sisters in Christ. And they get back in the battle again. They don't quit. All of us are going to fail. All of us are going to mess up. Some of us do it more than others. Some of us got the corner. We got the market on the corner. I mean, we know better than anybody else. I want to tell you, Paul said, look, don't quit. Don't quit. If you fail, get back up. If you get weary, get back in the battle. Paul said, one day I want to stand before him. And when I stand before him, I want to stand before him unashamed, not because I was perfect, not because I never made a mistake, but because I simply was willing to persevere. I said to these young men, these two interns that are here this summer, I said to them the other day, you'll probably learn more about what not to do in ministry this summer than what you will do in ministry. You go see a lot of mistakes. I've got a bunch of them. Some people got records of them. Of my mistakes I'm talking about. They ain't tell you all of them. I could if I could remember that far back. But I'm going to tell you this. Paul says we're not going to be judged on if we made a mistake. We're going to be judged on whether we are faithful. And Paul said, persevere so that we'll not be ashamed. Notice the next thing, very quick, number four. Paul says another thing. Boy, this one we certainly don't like. But Paul said in 2 Timothy, turn if you would to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The fourth thing that causes us or allows us not to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed because the power of God resteth upon me, Paul said in 1 Corinthians. So I don't have to be ashamed because of the power of God. I don't have to be ashamed because of the promise of God. You ever had promises that don't pan out? To try to help a neighbor in, I guess somewhat help ourselves. We had a salesman come by the house this week. And the lady said he'll be there 45 minutes to 1 hour. Guess what? That promise was not kept. Well, I don't tell you, I love technology, and I love, so I wish I'd have thought about this beforehand, but I didn't think about it until he was about 15 minutes into his spiel. So while he's sitting there giving his sales pitch, I'm on my cell phone, and I'm Googling everything there is to know about his company, and I'm starting to read reviews, and all of a sudden I'm reading, I know what he's going to say before he says it. And then at one point he says, now wait a minute, I want to offer you. I said, whoa, you're going to give me a $100 gift card. Or a $500 gift card. Yeah, I want to give you a $500 Walmart gift card. You can tell it caught him off guard. So finally, after about 45 minutes, I was fed up. I had an appointment after that. I said, look, I've got to go. Let's just cut to the quick. I've been sitting here for the last 45 minutes reading everything there's to know about your company. I can tell you the next move in your sales pitch, whether you know it or not. Boy, all the color just went out of his face. And he said, now about those reviews. The boy started, I said, no. And so I said, let's go ahead and get to the quick, and we got to the heart of the matter. Truth of the matter is, there's a lot of promises down here that never be fulfilled. But I'll tell you, I can stand unashamed before God and before men because I've got a promise that I know is sure. I can stand unashamed before him if I'm willing to persevere. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at this, notice verse 8, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. He said, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me of his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Skip down to verse 12, if you would, please. Verse 12, he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In verse 8, he said, I'm not ashamed to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Verse 12, I'm not ashamed of you to suffer for the cause of Christ. Can I say to you, number four, those that will endure persecution can stand unashamed. You've heard the old expression, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Man, I'll tell you, sometimes in the church, there's some heat. Sometimes in the workplace, if you stand as a Christian, there's some heat. Some stand in the corporate world. I thank God for those companies like I almost went to the wrong one. What's that place you spend all my money at? Hobby Lobby. Thank you. Hobby Lobby. Man, I thank God for corporations like Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A who will stand for the gospel. And buddy, trust me, they caught the heat. And my wife said, you know what? We ought to rally around the body of Christ and we ought to help support the body of Christ. I'm going to Hobby Lobby. I said, thanks a lot. If I go broke, you know I went broke supporting people who were standing for truth and righteousness. Amen. Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby. I'm just simply saying, if you stand, there's going to be some persecution. Not everybody's going to stand with you. Not everybody's going to be for you. But Paul said, I can stand before him unashamed because I endured the afflictions and the sufferings of the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, Peter says this, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Paul said, one day I'm going to stand before God. And Paul said, I've got an option. I can either be embarrassed down here or be embarrassed up there. And Paul and Peter said, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but it's not even close. I'd rather be embarrassed down here than be embarrassed up there. One day we're going to stand before him. And John said, I beseech you, little children, I beg of you, stand when he appears. We don't know when he's coming. We don't know when we're going to stand before him. But when we die, when he appears, when we stand before him, we can be confident that we won't be ashamed at his coming. Because I was willing to endure persecution. And Paul and Peter remind us of that. Notice the last thing very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's one other thing that helps us not to be ashamed. And that is being prudent. Being prudent. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. You know this verse already. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. He says, study to show thyself to prove unto God a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, boys, a lot of times in life you could be ashamed and embarrassed. I've told you before about my call to preach as a young person. As a teenager, my parents went off one evening. My sister and I were at home, and I was in my room trying to do homework and trying to study. And my sister wanted to watch TV and goof off and clown around. And she turned on the TV. And actually, it may have been that I turned it on and didn't want to do it. I'm not sure exactly how that went, but it's possible. It's possible. Boy, we didn't have TVs like we had today. Had that TV. And remember how that TV, those old tube TVs, when you turn it off, the picture would just start shrinking until it finally got to that dot right there in the middle of the TV. And that dot would stay there forever. Well, I remember one night I'm watching TV and I'm supposed to be doing homework, and all of a sudden I hear the dog bark and I hear the gate open. Man, we didn't have the only remote control we had when we was a kid was, boy, get up and change the channel. That's the only remote we had. Man, I got up and I hit that on-off switch on that TV. Boy, that picture began to shrink, and all of a sudden I heard the gate open. I heard mom and daddy come up the walkway. Then I heard the key and that dot still remained. I said, God, please get rid of that dot. God, if you get rid of that dot, I'll preach the gospel. That's why I'm here today, right now. Now I knew what was going to happen if that dot remained when Daddy walked through that living room door. There's going to be another dot. And it was going to remain for a while too, I guarantee you. And there's times I had to stand before a teacher, not prepared. I remember one time when I was in college, I worked security, and we had one class. It was an acting class of all classes. In college, and our teacher taught in the high school at the other campus before that class, so she was always 10 minutes late. And she taught at the very beginning of the semester, first day of the semester, she said, look, I teach another class on the other end of the campus the hour before this hour, so go ahead and know I'm going to be fired, so don't leave. You know, in college, they have a rule, if the teacher's not there in 10 minutes, you can just walk out. And so she said, I'm telling you now, I'm going to warn you, if I'm late, don't leave class. When I worked security, I worked from 10 o'clock at night to 3 o'clock in the morning. And man, I'd woken up late and trying to get to my first class. And I was trying to get to class on time. And so I run across the campus, and I didn't get anything to eat, so I stopped by the vending machine and got a chocolate milk and a thing of donuts, and I look, and it's, I still got a couple minutes, and sure enough, I walk in the door about 3 minutes after the class was scheduled to start. I knew she's going to be 10 minutes late. She is every day. I walked in the class, and I got my donuts in one hand and my chocolate milk in the other. I think, man, this thing good. I got 7 more minutes. I'm about to sit down. All of a sudden, I noticed when I walked in the room, everybody was quiet. And Miss McIntosh looked at me, and she said, Mr. Smith, thank you for joining us today. And I can't even tell you the embarrassed look when everybody in the class just sitting there looking at me like, what is your problem? And so, you know me, I'm just transparent. I said, I was a little teacher. I said, what are you doing here? Not time to be here yet. She said, the high school's out on a holiday. We didn't have class over there today. I thought, oh, great. The one day I come in late eating donuts and drinking chocolate milk. You talking about being ashamed and embarrassed? I want to tell you, there's going to come a day we're going to stand before Him. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15, he says, study, show thyself the prudent unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One day we're going to stand before Him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be ashamed. As I thought about Mr. Hurd on yesterday, and again, I love the fold of the flag. I love the salute they give. As I watched them fold that flag, and I say this respectfully, instead, they did not have active military there, and I'm not against that. That's all fine. Instead, they had a Vietnam vet that I think was a couple years ahead of him in high school, if I remember. They had a Vietnam vet that was folding the flag. And I want to tell you, I've been to a lot of military funerals. I've seen a lot of folding of the flag. But I'm telling you, there was something very moving about a Vietnam vet. Not with the strength and the stability of a young soldier, but a little shaky, a little feeble. And you can see the tears coming down his cheeks. Because the man in that casket was not another soldier. That was a classmate. That was a friend. That was a man who served with him in the battle. As you fold that flag, this verse kept coming to my mind. John said, children, he's going to appear one day. And when he does, I don't want you to be ashamed at his appearing. And Paul said, if you got the power of God, you won't be ashamed. If you understand His promise, you don't have to be ashamed. If you're willing to persevere when everybody quits and everybody gives up and everybody goes by the wayside, if you'll just persevere, you won't be ashamed. If you're willing to endure persecution, you won't be ashamed. And if you're willing to be prudent and be a student of the Word of God, you can stand before Him proud. Adrian Rogers was visiting the deathbed of a friend. This friend said to Pastor Rogers said, Pastor Rogers, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. I know that my sins are forgiven. I want you to know, Pastor Rogers, I'm not afraid to die. But then he bowed his head, and the tears began to fall. And he looked up at Pastor Rogers and said, Preacher, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm ashamed to die. I've never won one person to Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, I'd quit in the battle. And preacher, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm ashamed to die. Can I say to you on Memorial Day, on Memorial Day weekend, I don't know when He's going to appear, and I don't know when we're going to stand before Him. It may be tonight, it might be tomorrow, it might be 50 years now. I don't know. But I know this. John said, we can have confidence that we will not be ashamed when He comes.